Elijah is one of the best known of prophets. And during Elijah's day and Elisha's day, God chose to perform several miracles, all kinds of things, healing of people, restoring to life. One time, Elisha's men were working in the riverbed, and the axe they had borrowed sunk, and Elisha brought it back to the surface. God did. There are three ages of miracles: at the time of Moses, the time of Elisha and Elijah, and the time of Christ. Of course, a lot of people are claiming today the great miracles. I fail to see any of the reality of what they claim. And some of them that say, well, we're going to have a revival meeting, come and get your miracle. And it's a false thing, in my opinion. The miracle we have today is the resurrection of Christ. That's the miracle we look at. We don't come clamoring to God for miracles. We don't need them. Our faith is in the miracle of Christ. That's sufficient. Well, Elisha was a prophet that God used to perform some miracles. Let's pick it up at verse 8. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable or great woman, and she begged him to eat some food. So it was as often as he passed by that he turned in there to eat some food. She said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall. Let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." And it happened one day that he came there and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite woman." When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, "Say now to her, 'Look, you have been concerned with us with all your care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?' And she answered, 'I dwell among my own people.' So he said, 'What then is to be done for her?' And Gehazi answered, 'Actually, she has no son and her husband is old.' And he said, 'Call her.' When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And then he said, 'About this time next year, you shall embrace a son.' And she said, 'No, my lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant.' And the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come of which Elisha had told her. So the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to the father, 'My head, my head.' So he said to a servant, 'Carry him to his mother.' When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door on him, and went out. She called her husband and said, 'Please send me one of the young men, one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back.' So he said, 'Where are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath.' And she said, 'It is well.' Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, 'Drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you.' So she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And so it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, 'Look, there is the Shunammite woman. Please now run to her and meet her and say to her, "Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child?" And she answered, "It is well." Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But because he came near and pushed her away, but the man said, "Let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." And she said, "Did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me?'" Then he said to Gehazi, "Get yourself ready, take my staff in your hand, be on your way. If you meet someone, do not greet him. If anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awakened. When Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child, put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, hands on his hands. He stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house, and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite woman. So he called her, and when she came into him, he said, pick up your son. So she went, fell at his feet, bowed to the ground, picked up her son, and went out. Now, let's work our way through this to look at this mother and pick up some of the great qualities we find here. Now, first of all, in the version, the translation I'm reading in verse 8, we read, now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem. It happened, which makes us think, well, it's sort of a chance, a random thing. It just occurred. It brings up the idea of chance. Is this by chance, or is it by plan? Well, I want to read to you just now something that R.C. Sproul has written. He has a book, Not a Chance, which answers the question that there is no such thing as chance. It is true that if chance rules, God cannot. It is not necessary for chance to rule in order to supplant God. Indeed, chance requires little authority at all if it is to depose God. All it needs to do the job is to exist. The mere existence of chance is enough to rip God from his cosmic throne. Chance does not need to rule. It does not need to be sovereign. If it exists as a mere impotent, humble servant, it leaves God not only out of date, but out of a job. Follow that? Mm-hmm. Chance does not exist. There is no such thing as chance. If chance exists, then there really is no God. If chance existed, it would destroy God's sovereignty. If God is not sovereign, he is not God. If he is not God, he simply is not. If chance is, God is not. If God is, chance is not. The two cannot coexist by reason of the impossibility of the contrary. And then R.C. gets into a discussion of the mathematical possibility of tossing a coin for heads or tails, and the chance that could exist. And he takes it further. I say that chance has no power to do anything because it simply is not anything. It has no power because it has no being. Now, this is important for us because we have been saying we believe in the sovereignty of God, the grace of God, in election and predestination, and that rules out chance. So as we read a passage like this, we have to understand that now it happened one day that is not chance. This is by a predestined plan. God had planned for Elisha to be passing through the valley of Shunem and to meet this Shunammite woman, a godly appointment that had to take place. And by the way, it's interesting that in this text, this woman's name is never mentioned. Elisha always refers to her as the Shunammite or the Shunammite woman. So this morning, get acquainted with the Shunammite woman. And it happened that Elisha, passing through this valley, stayed at her house. Now, this valley of Shunem is said to be a very, very wonderful place in Israel. Magnificent agriculture, valley of groves and food and beauty, luxurious place. And so Elisha went back and forth through this valley in his ministry to the people of Israel. Now then, the next thing in this passage says that she was a notable woman, or sometimes translated, a great woman. Here is a woman with a good reputation, and she's known in the valley, and even though the village is small, here is a woman with a good reputation. What a great thing. She is a notable woman, a woman of generous hospitality. As she began to be concerned about Elisha passing through and offering him food and opening her home and her heart, a woman of generous hospitality. What a wonderful trait and characteristic that is, to have a generous spirit, opening the heart and the home. And she prepared a room for Elisha to make him comfortable. And it was there Elisha could spend time in meditation and prayer. And the interesting thing, Elisha took her up on it and became a regular customer. So if you open up your home like that, you want to be careful, because you could have some regular customers. And so Elisha was there, and he took her up on her hospitality. Now then, we see that she was a woman with spiritual discernment. She said to her husband, "I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly." I know. Spiritual discernment. What a very important thing that is. And it seems to me that God gives this to women more than men. That women have a depth of spiritual discernment that most of us men never have. So husbands, trust your wives when they're telling you something, and because they are able to read people. You can be in a crowd of people and meet someone new, and your wife will pick up whether he's real, genuine, sincere, or phony, or just what's happening. And this woman had great spiritual discernment. How we need women like that today, who can lead families in this way, to help us with friendships. It really takes a godly mother with spiritual discernment to help teenagers make friends. One of the most important things about teenage life is the friends that are made. And a godly mother can help a teenager with that, because the teenager can't really discern who's going to be good or bad as well as the mother. She's a notable woman. She's a woman with generous hospitality, and she is a woman of spiritual discernment. Now, as Elisha was there and being taken care of in the home, as he passed through, we find that he's a grateful guest, and that he calls his servant and said to this woman, "You've been concerned with us. What can we do for you?" And this is a passage that speaks to all of us. She had provided him a home away from home, and he showed his appreciation. And we need to do that, to really appreciate what has been done for us. And Darren brought up early in the service the matter of appreciating what his mother had done for him. Probably children and young people can never do that for him. It's only as we get into it that we can appreciate. And we want to be careful that we look around us and currently appreciate people who are investing time and prayer and concern in our life and express that appreciation to them. That's what Elijah did. Elisha, what can I do for you? Now, here's another good trait about this woman. She's the woman with no expectations. Elisha's message was, what can I do for you? And she said, I dwell among my own people. And probably that could be translated to say, I'm living here with my relatives. It's a small village, small valley, and it's a kind of a communal thing. And the families stay together. And she's a sense saying, well, I have no needs. My family's here to take care of me, and I have no expectations. In other words, Elisha, I'm not furnishing you this room to get anything. It's a generous, hospitable thing. I'm expecting nothing in return. That is true giving. If we give expecting to get something back from that person, that is not giving. And sadly, that's what is happening in church and theology today. Prosperity giving. You give to my ministry and God will bless you financially. It's baloney with a capital B. Don't buy that. That is not biblical. And they should not be doing that. And true giving has no expectations. We give to give. We don't give to get. And this is a great asset of this woman, the Shunammite woman. Then Elisha gave her a promise. And he said to her, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. Now, she has a difficult time believing this because she hasn't been able to have any children. And this is such an important thing. You don't play around with this. You can joke about a lot of things, but you don't joke with an Israelite mother about having children when she has them. It's too serious. The most important thing in the life of an Israelite mother was to have a son. And if she didn't, she was considered as a disgrace and a shame. So you don't fool around with me here, old man of God, Elisha. Don't lie to your maidservant, because I've been praying for this all my life up to this point. And so here is God, verse 17. And the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come of which Elijah told her. It is God's gracious gift. Now, because this woman had been barren and then the son is born, we think of it as a miraculous gift, right? That's true. But every birth is a miracle. Every birth is a miracle. Every conception is a miracle. Imagine how God brought this about. And knowing how to create birth among humans and how this happened. Every birth is a miracle, and especially meaningful to this lady. Then we have other women in the Bible who were barren, prayed for a son. Hannah went to the temple and prayed there on the steps of the temple. And some ask, is she drunk? No. She's praying for a son, and she had Samuel. Sarah, toward 100 years old, no son. God gave her a son, Isaac. So here is God's gracious gift. And so the child grew. And then the Bible here says, one day he went out to the fields with his father in this agricultural land to reap some of the grain, the harvest. And while he is there, he has a problem. I think this is the original migraine headache. He says, my head, so there's something going on, an aneurysm or something. And so the father says to his servant, take him to his mother. And here's the mother, probably a very busy lady doing things, and she takes that son and holds him, and the son dies on her lap. Now, it's not so hard to read into what's going on with her. The grief and the sorrow and the heartache of losing her son. And the question that might arise. Why? Lord, you gave me a son. Why have you taken him? What's the reason? What's the purpose in all this? And there isn't any answer given to her, really. Why did you do this? Well, one thing that comes to mind was maybe this son was too important. Maybe this son was so important he was taking the place of God. Maybe this son had become an idol, and she lived to serve the son more than possibility, which can happen with us. The parental love for children can become idolatry. And if that was the case, we don't know. But anyway, God took that boy from her. Now we see another great, great asset, characteristic quality in this woman, in her perseverance. She doesn't just accept this. She's going to go to God, and she's going to go to Elisha and see what can be done here. So she talks to her husband about getting the donkey and the servant, and she goes. She goes to meet Elisha. And Elisha learns about the boy's death. And Elisha also does not settle for death. He's going to go to God, and something's going to happen here. So Elisha sends the servant, takes Elisha's staff, and Elisha said, lay the staff on the face of this boy. Well, Gehazi does that, but nothing happens. And one minor point we learn here is that there is no power in the staff. There's no power in things. The power is in the people whom God fills with His Holy Spirit to perform a certain duty or task or service. So when Elisha went there, Elisha himself put himself upon the boy and stretched himself out on the boy in prayer to God. And the boy's body became warm. And Elisha left the room and went out to pray some more. Came back and did it again. Life returned to the boy. And here's a very interesting thing in Scripture that could be humorous. What was the sign of life in that boy? 7 sneezes. Can't you imagine? Now, the only person I know who can do that is Faye Suzanne. I mean, she can sneeze 7 times, just like that. And each one goes up a little in tone. And by the time you get to 7, it's a squeak. So she's a biblical mother. Isn't that interesting, bro? And the boy sneezed 7 times. You've got so much to think about in creation and salvation and heaven and hell and all these things. Why would the Holy Spirit say he sneezed 7 times? Well, we don't know exactly. It was the sign of life, and the boy is restored to life. And the final thing we see in this passage is the grateful heart. The mother who goes to Elisha expresses appreciation that her son is now with her. A thankful woman. Here is the Shunammite woman, the grateful mother from whom we learn many things this morning, and especially to appreciate some of the Old Testament passages that are so full, rich, and interesting for us to study. Let's bow prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you have done in days past through Moses and Elijah and Elisha, through our Lord Jesus Christ here on earth and through the apostles, and how you blessed Hannah and Sarah, and now this Shunammite woman with miraculous births of sons, and what great mothers and examples they were. Thank you for that. Thank you for the examples that we have today, and for the responsibilities we have with all of our children, that all of us, in a sense, are moms and dads of all the children in our congregation, and how we need to help each other with that. So we're grateful people today, Lord, and we thank you we could be here to worship and explore a passage of Scripture. Take whatever is the need in our life and visit us by the power of the Holy Spirit today, and meet our need and cause us to worship and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.